Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm so excited that you are here with us today, and we are going to be talking about a subject that's kind of near and dear to my heart. We're going to be talking today about mastering leadership and what it takes to move from being a doer to a leader. And we're going to kind of dive deep there with our guest today. And this is going to be a day you're going to want to make sure that you have a pen and paper, because she's going to give you some writer downers, like I like to call them. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. So our guest today is Vanessa Hudelman, and she is the president of Mosaic People Development. For over 20 years, Vanessa has been helping clients to develop leaders who inspire great results. She's a speaker, facilitator, leadership consultant, author, and certified executive coach. And having worked in the trenches herself as a leader, she teaches her clients a very practical approach to leadership that she has used to develop her own high-performing teams. Over the years, she has trained and coached thousands of people to transition from doers to leaders. And she works with leaders to give them the tools and strategies they need to feel confident, be more self-aware, be team-focused, and to be strategic. So thank you so much for being here with me, Vanessa.
Lovely to be here with you, Patty.
I am so excited. And I have to tell you, this whole thing from being a doer to a leader, I just really love that topic. I think that a lot of times, especially if you are transitioning from having a job or being in corporate, now all of a sudden you work for yourself, we're so used to doing, right? Do, do, do. And then we don't really realize that for me, I think that a lot of times being a leader starts with learning how to lead yourself. Right? You know, you have to lead yourself before you can develop other leaders. So do you think that there are a few things that people need to keep in mind? Let's just jump right in. Keep in mind that when they are transitioning, again, whether it's from corporate or maybe they're a serial entrepreneur, right? Like me, or maybe they have a brick and mortar business. What are some of the first things? I know that you have some pillars that you work with, but what are some of the things that they need to know when they are doing that and going from that doer to a leader?
For sure. So I moved from a doer to a leader myself. I worked in corporate for 15 years and I've been running my own business for 11 years now. So boy, oh boy, can I relate. And I think that it's interesting. I get a lot of calls from people who say to me, Vanessa, I'm thinking of being an entrepreneur. I'm thinking of starting my own business. Can you share with me what it's like? And I always say to them, you have to wear a lot of hats and you got to move. If you're not willing at the beginning to wear a lot of hats and move and take action, maybe being an entrepreneur is not for you. You got to hustle, right? Especially at the beginning. Now I've been in my business for 11 years. I'm quite established as a leadership consultant coach, but I still have to move things forward and take action. And so I think entrepreneurs are really special and very unique. And to make a business fly, it really takes a lot of courage and a lot of perseverance. So for me, the starting point is always self-awareness. Yeah, it's very much about really understanding your why. Like, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? Who's your key audience? Who do you want to serve? What's important about that to you? Because if leadership does and running a business does take a lot of perseverance, and I really believe if you don't have that why, and it's not kind of, for me, the work that I do is part of my spiritual purpose. It's I'm very connected to the purpose of my business. And I think for a lot of people, if that connection isn't there, the drive to persevere won't be there either.
I think that makes a lot of sense too, because I know that when I talk to a lot of people who are thinking about transitioning to being an entrepreneur, like I feel like the pattern that I've seen, certainly I want to hear if you hear this too, but what I hear over and over and over again is that they want time freedom, right? Time freedom is so important to them. But here's kind of the kicker, is they all want time freedom. And a lot of times for them, that means getting to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And before they used to get a paycheck and now they don't. And really, honestly, I find that the balance for that really, and kind of being aware, is that you have to be self-motivated, right? You have to be able to motivate yourself to get things done because you're not answering to somebody else, right? You're the CEO. And that means that you have to be able to motivate yourself. So yes, I love, as my own boss, sometimes when I can say, oh, I'm giving myself the day off today, or I'm going to look at my calendar and I kind of need a patty day and I book that in. That's really, really great. But I also know that in order to do that, what's the payment for that, right? Maybe that means I have to work a few extra hours somewhere else. Maybe it isn't. But I do know that a lot of times I'll see when they think that means they'll say to me, well, Patty, I just want to take the summers off because my kids are at home. Well, that's great. But what are you doing that's going to allow you to do that, right? So there's a lot of things there about being self-motivated if you really want time freedom. So do you hear that as well?
Oh my gosh, not only do I hear that, I live that. I live that as an entrepreneur and as a mom. I have two teenage boys who are 14 and 16. It makes me laugh because I'm thinking back to when I started my business and friends of mine who happened to be not working at the time for different reasons were like, do you want to meet for coffee? Do you want to meet for lunch? And I had to say to them, no, I'm working. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm running my own business. I got to hustle. So no, I can't meet you for coffee. I'm working. So I think it's very much about putting boundaries in place and looking at your calendar and saying, you know, if I want to pick up my kids at 3:30, I don't book clients at 3:30. Maybe I'm back to work at 4:30. But I think it's really, when I think about being an entrepreneur and definitely moving from a doer to a leader, I think about what I call the three P's of prioritization. You have to be able to, as you grow as an entrepreneur, not only are you taking care of yourself, but you're going to start building a team, right? So you have to know how to develop a team. One of your priorities has to be your people. You have to focus on process. So Patty, if I want to have the freedom to pick up my kids at 3:30 or not work on Fridays or whatever it is, you have to put processes in place to give you the freedom to do that. Also, the third P that I like to focus on is around profit. You have to be profitable as an entrepreneur if you want to keep your business running.
I think that is so very true. I think that a lot of times they don't think about that. But I know for me, there were certain things that I put into place, but it took time. Like I knew that I wanted time freedom. That is the most important thing to me. And I had to ask myself, what does that look like? And I had to go through a few years of having a few hours here where I was really busy and learning what are the most creative times to be doing revenue generating activities, right? And it's different for everybody. I had to find that balance myself and become aware of that. But I would have to say that now that I have done the work and have in place, I don't work on Fridays. And literally, I don't do clients on Mondays either. I don't work on Friday. That's Patty time. But that allows me to be able to show up and be fully present with my family on the weekends. But it also, not taking clients on Monday, I work on Monday. It's probably one of my hardest working days, but it lets me prep. And I do all my prep work for my clients. And I actually book off 2 hours in the morning for myself and my business too. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are really busy days for me with my clients and facilitating masterminds and the other things that I do. But that balance for me has really been wonderful, but it didn't come from day one, right? I had to literally figure out what worked for me. And I think that is part of it, is really figuring out what works for you. We're all different, right? And I get up early. And I have global clients. And so sometimes I'm on the phone with clients at 4 a.m. because they live in other countries. But it all depends on what kind of business you have, right? Are you a national business, local, global, whatever the case may be. So you have to be able to balance that. So I love that you're saying that you need to balance all of that out and be aware, but equally people, profit, and process. I mean, you can build the process if that's what you want, but you just have to know that it's not going to happen day one.
Oh, 100%. And I love what you said, Patty, that process, that is one of the three P's. And when you move from being a doer to a leader, you have to think strategically. Thinking about your time and your priorities is part of thinking strategically. Putting a process around your calendar in place is critically important. And I think people can do that anytime, whether they've been in business for a month or whether they've been in business for 10 years. For me, Fridays, I don't book clients, but it's my day to work on the business, not in the business. So you have to really think about, I don't book clients on Fridays at all. You have to think about your lifestyle and your priorities. And that's the process piece. The other thing around process is if you do have a team, schedule time in your calendar to meet with your team. Is it every month? I like to do Monday mornings personally, right? So Monday morning, we look at the calendar, we look at what's coming up for the week, and we say, okay, this needs to be done. What do you need from me? What do I need to get from you? And everybody's aligned on the plan for the week.
Having a process is really important. One of the things that I learned for me from a process point of view was my inbox. And probably one of the most important things that I learned was that my inbox is everybody else's agenda for my day. So when I get to my desk, I never look at my inbox first. I look at my calendar first to see what my day is, look and see what it is that I need to do, get prepared for that. I do get to my inbox, but I have found for me, and I have taught this to my clients too, if you let your inbox become your agenda for the day, you are not a CEO. Now you are a firefighter. You become a firefighter instead of a CEO. And so I had to learn. It was really hard at first. Now it's actually very, very easy for me to have put rules in place in my Outlook and stuff so that I get the most important things. So there's things that you can do, but it's a process, right? And it wasn't a process I had in the beginning, because remember, I'm going to age myself here, but remember in the day where multitasking was a good thing, right? You know, you could put that on your resume and everyone's like, oh, wow, you can multitask. Now nobody wants anyone to multitask. Now we want you to be able to focus. So there's been kind of a shift in that. So I think that is really important. So I want to ask you a question. I think one of the things that I read on your website that I really loved is when you said that a true leader should be able to answer this question easily. What am I getting paid to do? And I have to tell you, I think that's such a great question, because I think that you could probably ask 100 people and get 100 different answers, right? Because really, as a true leader, what are you actually getting paid to do? So I think that's really interesting. So I want to ask you, like, what should people be thinking? Are some really good, not like really good answers, so everybody's like, oh, I should strive for that. But the reality here is, what am I getting paid to do? I think maybe they could use some clarity around that. So what made you say that? Like, where did you pull that from? What was the thing that motivated that?
Well, it's one of my favorite questions to ask people. The reason I started asking people that is because I find leaders and entrepreneurs are overwhelmed all the time. People kept saying to me, Vanessa, I'm so busy. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to coach my team. I don't have time to do that. And so I started asking, well, what actually are you paid to do? Because what that question does is it gets people laser focused on their core priorities. The next step I would say to people is, okay, once you're clear on what you're paid to do, now what I want you to do is write down everything on your to-do list. And then you're going to check, is this item on my to-do list aligned with what I believe I'm paid to do? So for example, when I did that activity for myself, I realized I was doing a lot of administrative work. I said to myself, wait, as an executive coach, as a business owner, as a president of my business, am I paid to do that? Absolutely not. And that's what triggered me to say, I need to bring on an assistant, a virtual assistant. And so that was the first person that I brought on my team. And I literally made a list of everything that's not aligned with what I'm paid to do. And I said, here's your job description, go. And that was a game changer.
I actually have to tell you, sometimes I find myself going back and doing that exercise over again, because you get clear and then things happen. And then all of a sudden, a little bit of time goes by and you find yourself doing those tasks again. Like how they kind of got back in there somehow, because I have done that as well when you're building team, right? Because there are things that really are the things you need to be doing. then there are also things that not only should you be doing, but you're not very good at them either. They're not your core competencies, right? And then there's things that you don't like to do. And if you don't like to do it, it's going to go to your bottom of your to-do list anyway, right? So yes, those are really some important things. And I have to tell you, I find that a lot of entrepreneurs have a hard time building team. They don't know when to start. They don't know what they should do first. They don't know how many should I bring on. And I'm going to tell you, when I worked in an office, when I had an office and I had team, that was so much easier for me for some reason. I don't know why. When I moved to a home office, I found that now all the people that I outsourced to on my team were virtual. And for some reason, I went through a period where I really struggled with that. You know, I had more turnover. I was finding myself having a lot of, oh, this person would throw this person under the bus. They'd say that they didn't get this done because this person didn't get it to them, which I really realized was because I didn't have the process, right? I didn't have the process of how we were going to work, where when you were in the office, it was really easy to walk into an office and have that meeting together and all that kind of stuff. So I find that some people really struggle with that. And more people are working from home now than ever before, right? So what would you say if somebody either, let's start first with somebody who's starting to build a team. And then I kind of want to know if you have a team and you're kind of struggling with it, or now you want to add to your team, what are some things that they should be thinking about that would really make that transition or that jump for them easier?
For sure. So when you're starting a team, you have to ask yourself, why? What's the reason that I want to bring someone on? And again, let's go back to the activity that I mentioned before. Clarify what you're paid to do. Write down a list of everything that's not aligned with what you feel like you're paid to do. Create your first job description from that. Maybe it's administrative tasks. Well, it should be the administrative tasks when you grow to a certain level. Maybe you outsource your social media. And I do, Patty, you made a really good point around really understanding what you are really good at. What's your unique brilliance? That's the advantage of being an entrepreneur. In my mind, I get to focus on my unique brilliance. I'm really self-aware. So as an entrepreneur, when you move from being a doer to a leader, you have to develop your self-awareness. You have to know, what is my unique brilliance? What am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? Make a list of all those things and make a list of everything you're doing that's not aligned with your unique brilliance, that's not aligned with what you enjoy doing. And again, that becomes a job description for somebody you want to hire. So for example, for me, I could do social media, Patty. Like I could post on LinkedIn and go live on Instagram and go on Canva and make pretty images. Is it my unique brilliance? Hell no. Is it what I really feel like I'm paid to do? Absolutely not. So that's when I brought on another team member to help me with that. And again, number one is identify your gaps. Identify your unique brilliance is not. Hire that person to fill those gaps, but then you got it. So that's the people side of it. And then onboarding them is a different issue, and motivating them and delegating to them is all in that people pillar. The process pillar is when you do onboard that person, you have to be very clear around your expectations. Clarifying your expectations is actually one of the ways that you build trust with your people. A lot of leaders or entrepreneurs feel like, if I clarify my expectations too much, and are they going to think I'm a nitpicker? And I always say it's the opposite. It actually builds trust. When someone is super clear with you, you're like, I could do that. So that's part of really the people side. You have to build trust with your team. You have to be respectful. You have to be loyal. You have to keep your commitments to them and they to you. You have to clarify your expectations. You have to listen. That's all about building that people side and the leadership part of your practice as an entrepreneur.
I think that's really important. So for me, I'm also a coach, but I'm in marketing, right? So it's a little bit different. And one of the things that I have found for me is, yes, I like to work in my brilliance and hire other people to work in there. So I don't like to micromanage. That's super important to me. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking to bring on team that I don't need to do that, right? But with that said, one of the things I realized when I first started building a team was that because I didn't have a right process in place, that I was usually the bottleneck. And I realized that once I delegated, I kind of check marked it off. And then all of a sudden, I'd be like, wait a second, why haven't I got that? And then I would ask and they would say, oh, well, because we were waiting for you to give us this. Like, well, how long were you going to wait? right? Because we didn't set the expectation. So early on, I did have that, but I got out of that super fast once I realized that that was costing me money. And I have a firm commitment to myself that when I bring on someone, that every single person, I give myself a period of time that whatever I am delegating to them, and it differs from teammate to teammate. I have 6 people who work for me, and each one of them, I have a period of time in my head. I don't necessarily tell them of how long before they have to be paying themselves. In other words, they are making me money and it's thus paying for them. Now, sometimes you got to onboard them. You have to teach them things, training, so they're not going to make that money back for you day one. But quickly, that's the goal, right? But the other thing that I realized as a leader was when I was looking at the things that were not my brilliance, I don't call those weaknesses. I actually call them opportunities, because now it's an opportunity for you to hire someone that can do those for you. So that's an opportunity. And sometimes when you're looking at that list as well, it isn't necessarily somebody you need to hire. It could be somebody you can collaborate with. Because for me, one of those things for me was that I don't like to write content. Like, I stopped blogging and published a magazine instead because I didn't want to blog every week. So I made that decision, right? But I didn't want to do it. And so I had to ask myself, well, what is the thing? So now I do have somebody who is a content creator for me that I tell her what I want. She does. I look at it, make sure it's in my voice before it ever goes out. So I spend a little bit of time having to change that. But with that said, I'm very clear about what that is. Now, when I'm doing events, on the other hand, I like to collaborate with a copywriter, because copywriters usually love it when somebody else is doing the marketing and they write the copy. So sometimes it tells you somebody you should hire. Sometimes it's an opportunity to collaborate. Depends upon which one it is. But again, it does still come down to what's the process, who are the people, and profit, right? So it does come down to those 3 things. So I think that is really important. But you have another 3 things. So you also have 3 pillars of effective leadership. And what are those 3 pillars? I love 3 and 3. That's just really good balance there.
Isn't that a marketing rule, Patty, that we always do things in terms of 3s?
Well, marketing, media, money, it is for me.
There you go. Yeah, I always do things in terms of 3s. I'm chatting, Patty, as you talk about your strengths. And I was an English major in university and I love to write. So I always write my own blog every Friday. So here we are, 2 entrepreneurs and coaches, and we're all built so differently and wired so differently. And so I love hearing about how you're leveraging your strengths in your business and how I do it differently in my business based on my wiring. So in terms of, to answer your question around the 3 pillars of leader success, so you're onboarding people, you are an entrepreneur, and you're a leader now as you build your team. So what I tell leaders is leadership is very complex, by the way. It's extremely multifaceted, and a lot of people don't realize that. The other thing about leadership that I've learned after developing leaders literally across the globe for 20 plus years is that most people, whether you work in corporate or you're an entrepreneur, if you work in corporate, most people get promoted into leadership roles without any leadership development. Or if you're an entrepreneur, you start growing your team, but you've never had leadership development before. The thing you have to understand is leading people is a different job than whatever you were doing before. Let's say you're an architect, right? And you have been working with clients one-on-one, and then now you're building a team of other people in your architect firm. Well, leading those people is very different than being an architect, what you were trained to do in university, right? So the 3 things I get people to focus on to kind of break down the complexity of leadership is that you have to know yourself, you have to be able to manage your team, and you have to be able to lead your business, right? Knowing yourself is that whole piece around understanding your work style, under all the stuff we talked about already, that self-awareness piece, understanding your strengths and your weaknesses, your unique brilliance. It's also about mindset. And I know you talk a lot about mindset. That's part of knowing yourself, is understanding your mindset, what's blocking you from your success in your business, what's going to help you move forward. And then the 3rd piece around know yourself is trust, and how to build trust in your team and understand some of those pillars. The manager team business is your job. Once you have people on your team, is to coach them, to develop them. It's to build a high performing team. Again, things that most people are not taught to do. The lead your business part is around leading and managing change. I mean, just think of all the change that we went through the pandemic. We all had to, I mean, I hate to use that word pivot. It was so overused, but we all had to pivot our businesses. That's around leading and managing change. It's about prioritizing, about delegation. It's also about executing strategically. So my goal in creating these three pillars is to help leaders to break down the complexity of everything you need to do as a leader and really know what your job is. And it's know yourself, manage your team, and lead your business.
I love that. I mean, really honestly, that's broke down really well. For the audience, just so you know, she actually wrote a book called Mastering Leadership, What It Takes to Lead in Today's Fast-Paced World. So we're going to make sure that we give you access to that book. There'll be a link for you to be able to go and get that book should you decide to do that. But she also came bearing gifts too, and she was very generous in those as well. So we will have the link for that too. But can you share with us a little bit about those gifts that you have for them? Because I think people love gifts, and it just kind of perfectly led into gifts because they want to know where's those resources we're going to get after everything you've just said, that how can they, you know, put that into their business? So this is a great time. So tell us a little bit about the gifts.
Oh, I love gifts, Patty. Thanks for mentioning gifts. Okay. So you can go to your leadershipresources.com. One place you can find hundreds of blog posts. I've blogged every Friday for the last probably 5-6 years on every topic related to leadership, whether it's how to give feedback to your team properly, how to delegate them properly, how to create a high performing team, how to prioritize. So lots of blog posts. I've got some videos. I've got a really nice leadership assessment. If you want to focus on that first pillar of knowing yourself as a leader, you can download a leadership assessment to take. I've also got a link to my book if that's of interest. So just lots of stuff that you can dive into.
That is so incredible. Thank you so much. And so I have to tell you, Vanessa, we're at the point in the show where this is one of my favorite times in the show. This is the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. So I always love to ask my guest that you share so much great stuff, but if you had to narrow it down to one strategy, what would be the number one marketing, media, or money strategy to leave our guests with?
I would say be strategic. Really think clearly about balancing your time and focus equally on your people, your profit, and your process.
That is perfect. Thank you so much for being here with me, Vanessa. I appreciate it so much. You were so generous in sharing your brilliance and giving us some resources as well. So I really think that was very valuable. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patty. Loved our conversation.
Thank you so much. And thank you to our audience. Thank you so much for being here week after week. I really appreciate it for joining us on the Marketing, Media, Money podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And if you would like a simple answer to the question, where should I focus my time and energy to attract highly qualified ideal clients? We invite you to take the Marketing, Media, and Money assessment. And in 3 minutes or less, you'll know where you are excelling, where you need to make a few changes, and what those steps are to achieve massive results. And you can go to www.m3, that stands for Marketing, Media, and Money, so m3bizquiz.com. So thank you again, everybody, for being here. Thank you again, Vanessa. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll see everybody again next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.